Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry, Caroline Fenton, Derek Mason hanging out with you, and I'm new to this, so D-Mace and Nick, please walk me through our NFL zingers.
Let's hit it, Nick.
Yes, Caroline, this is something new to you, but it's a fun topic. We always do this once a week at 1 o'clock with yours truly, taking over for Elijah Campbell after he did this last season. So I think the first and foremost thing that I want to address here with you guys is going back down to Miami. Mm-hmm. So the Dolphins handed the Bills their first loss of the season, and Ken Dorsey absolutely lost his godforsaken mind up in the press box or wherever he was. But, you know, I think they still look like they're a pretty good team. I kind of want to hear your thoughts based on, yeah, they walked away with the win yesterday. But, you know, I think they can still challenge the Bills. And I know D-Mace knows I posed this question last week. So, Caroline, we can start off with you. But do you really think the Dolphins can somewhat challenge the Bills in this division? I mean, the AFC East should be led by the Bills, but hey, I know they were injury plagued on defense yesterday, but what do you guys think?
Yeah, so I think first and foremost, before I answer your question, let's remember this is not college football. Mm-hmm. This is not where you lose one game and then you're completely out of contention for the postseason or for a championship run. So, you know, the Bills drop one game. That doesn't mean that the Bills aren't still an elite team. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that the Bills aren't still a team that can absolutely win the AFC East and make a Super Bowl run. I still very much so believe that. But to answer your question, Nick, I think Miami showed us yesterday that they could give the Bills a run for their money, because it wasn't just a one-off that we saw yesterday. Mm-hmm. We also saw that huge performance from Tua, 6 touchdowns, like 500 and something yards in the air last Sunday. So the Dolphins have shown that they're a pretty solid team, and they've shown us that 2 weeks in a row. Winning a division game against Buffalo is huge. Mm-hmm. I still think that Buffalo is probably still my favorite to win that division, but the Dolphins can make things a little bit more uncomfortable. And I didn't think that bringing in Tyreek Hill was going to be the difference between Tua looking like a quarterback that might lose his job and a quarterback that could give Josh Allen a run for his money, but that's looking like it probably is the case. So I'm not completely buying into the Dolphins, you know, taking over this division, but I do think it just got that much more interesting.
Well, we understood that Buffalo, Nick, Caroline, that Buffalo was for real. They're the
truth. For real.
I still think they are the front runners to win a Super Bowl. But Miami has shown us that, hey, they're for real. Mm-hmm. They have shown us that all that talk about Tua last season, the arm strength and everything else, that is a mute question now, at least after 3 games. But, again, the Bills were missing a ton of players on defense, and Miami took advantage of it, and rightfully so. It's not their fault. Their Buffalo guys are injured. But I still believe a healthy Buffalo Bill team going up against a Miami team, I still pick the Buffalo Bills to win, and I still pick them to win this division. So, yes, Miami has shown us that they're for real, but until, you know, Buffalo shows me otherwise, I still think they're the team to beat in that division, and they're the team to beat in the AFC.
Okay, fair enough, D-Mace. You were very against it last week, so glad that we could dissect that.
At least eased up on that take.
Very much so. And
I wasn't buying it last week either. No. I thought that was a flash in the pan from Tua.
More of a fun question last week nonetheless. But so now we'll move over to the AFC South, which has been one hell of a division to keep track of so far these first few weeks. But so far we have Indianapolis, who has tied and taken down the Chiefs. Tennessee has allowed comebacks in the fourth quarter. And then there's the Jacksonville Jaguars. And Jacksonville leads the division now. And Trevor Lawrence is looking more and more comfortable. And he's looking dangerous, honestly. I know that Baker Mayfield wakes up and feels dangerous every day, but maybe this guy does too. So, but how much of a problem can Jacksonville be for the Colts and Titans, who got all this preseason hype? Please give me all of the Trevor Lawrence hype that you want to. Please.
I said this at the beginning of the year. I thought that Jacksonville was much improved. If you're just talking about a team where they were last year and the improvements they made this year, I think Jacksonville made the biggest improvement of any team out there, considering where they were. The head coach, personnel, they made a huge change and a huge improvement.
Much
and
needed.
And I said, they may not win the division. I'm not looking for them to win the division, and I'm not looking for them to do anything in the AFC. But what they're going to do is they're going to make it a hard out each and every week for opponents. More importantly, they're going to make it a hard out for the Tennessee Titans and the Indianapolis Colts each and every time they play them. I'm going to go back on that. I think this is the best team in the division.
You think the Jacksonville Jaguars
are the best team in the division?
Whoa.
Right now. I watched them play yesterday. Mm-hmm. I watched them play last week, too. But I watched them play yesterday. It seems like Trevor Lawrence is the guy we all thought he was. The passes that we were making, the command of the huddle, I mean, the fearlessness to stay in the pocket when people are barreling down on you, the ability to get outside the pocket and still, you know, throw lasers down the field. And he has a wonderful supporting cast around him that are making plays, starting from ATN to his receivers to the defense. This team, led by Doug Peterson, they're not just going to give teams a run for their money. They're going to beat teams. And teams need to start paying attention to them, because if they don't, you're going to find at the end of the season that the Jacksonville Jaguars, that last game of the season that the Titans play, that might be for the division between the both of them.
Oh, and how fun will that be? And also, how stressful will that be going into week 17, not knowing if you have a spot in the playoffs?
Exactly.
But to answer your question, Nick, I didn't give Jacksonville much of a look this year, just because I thought, I know that Trevor Lawrence and this team will undoubtedly take a step forward not having Urban Meyer, because I think we've seen so far in 3 weeks how much of a cancer Urban Meyer really was for that team. I thought, of course, they're going to take a step forward. I just don't think it's going to be yet. I just don't think that Doug Peterson's going to be able to come in and change the culture that quickly, that Trevor Lawrence is going to be able to turn things around that quickly. I thought they would improve, just wouldn't make that big of a splash yet. Now, I'm not here to say that Jacksonville is my favorite to win the division, that Jacksonville is going to make a run for the playoffs, but they definitely look much improved over last year, and they definitely look like they could be a threat. So while I'm not willing to say they're going to win the division, I think that Jacksonville just pulled themselves up a seat at this table at the AFC South.
Oh, they most certainly did, Caroline. That's why I asked the question, is because they look more like a problem for everybody involved in this division. So with all the preseason hype, there we go. So Mac Jones goes down with a high ankle sprain, maybe worse. Testing is still underway. I was hoping to get some sort of update before I had my question. But so now you've got Brian Hoyer, the 13-year veteran who could hold down the fort, and you have Bailey Zappe, a rookie quarterback.
Nick.
Yes.
Bailey Zappe.
Do I hear a Western Kentucky bias coming through?
Maybe a tad bit, but I'm more or less posing the question about Brian Hoyer and their ability to, I guess, hold themselves together. Because without Mac Jones, he's that glue on their offense, obviously. So I'm just kind of curious, do you guys think the Patriots will sink or swim based on what we could see from Mac Jones being out long term? You know, he could land on the IR. And yes, okay, Bailey Zappe is not a horrible guy to mention. I just had to throw his name in there. He probably won't play, but I just had to throw him in there. So.
No, I'm just giving you a hard time. He would not be the first third-string quarterback to have to come in and start a game. First and foremost, those photos of Mac Jones coming off the field were bone-chilling. He looked like he was in a lot of pain, so hoping for a quick recovery for him. To be totally honest with you, I didn't think that the Patriots were going to be able to swim even with Mac Jones. They don't have the personnel to be able to compete in that division, which got significantly more difficult now that we see that the Dolphins are going to be a competitor. I didn't think they had the personnel to be able to compete in the AFC. So now with Mac Jones out, I think that just makes it even worse. I think this team going into it had several, you know, just critical issues with, you know, with the offensive play callers and Bill Belichick not wanting to announce who's going to be the play caller. I think Bill Belichick has a good bit of stubbornness that's kind of holding this team back. I don't think they have solid personnel, and they lose their starting quarterback. I'm not expecting much from the New England Patriots so far this season.
Me either. Now that Mac Jones has gone down, and you know, at the beginning of the year, I said, listen, you can just, there are certain people you just can't count out, no matter what the situation is. Tom Brady, Mike Vrabel, and Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick.
Those are three guys that comes to mind. Mm-hmm. There could be more, and I know there is more. But those three guys, whatever situation they're in, you just don't count them out. And that's how I felt about Bill Belichick in the New England Patriots. This season, I felt, yes, their roster is a little shaky. I understand that. But Bill is their core. Bill is their coach. Mm-hmm. So he's going to find a way, like Vrabel, he's going to find a way to pull out some critical games to get this team in a position to possibly get a wild card spot. Now that Mac Jones is down, I don't know how long he's out. If it's a high ankle sprain, how many weeks do they put him on IR? We just don't know. Mm-hmm. But if the worst is found out that he's going to miss a considerable amount of time, I think it's done for New England. I think they're done. I don't think Brian Hoyer can carry this team into, let alone win their division. But I don't think he can even get into the into a wild card spot.
Not many backups can.
Yeah, you're right.
If any backups can.
Your roster needs to be solid,
right,
stacked, and set for a backup quarterback to come in and lead you, especially this early.
Unless your backup quarterback is Jacoby Brissett.
Or Tom Brady. Yeah, so I think they're done. I think they're done. But it all depends on how many games Mac Jones will eventually miss. If it's one or two, I think there's still some hope for him. But if he's going to miss a considerable amount of time, I think they're done.
Is that it for us, Nick?
Yeah. Well,
okay.
All right, cool. Well, those were the zingers. Appreciate Nick for those. We'll get back into your thoughts coming up next. 615-737-1024-1025. Before we do that, I got to let y'all know that you can catch the Eddie George Show featuring Jonathan Hutton on 1025-1063 The Game tomorrow night at 6 p.m. live from 6 in Peabody. The Eddie George Show is brought to you by Low T Centers. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game. Caroline Fenton, Derek Mason hanging out with you. So the Titans escape the game against the Raiders unscathed. They get into the win column, an absolute positively must-have win. The Titans got it. Survive in advance.
Yes, that's the name of the game.
That is the name of the game. It wasn't the prettiest win.
No.
But it was a win.
And
I do think that there are plenty of Titans fans out there that hear all everything we're saying about, you know, the step back offensively in the second half, concerns about Caleb Farley. Mm-hmm. Why isn't your first round draft pick out there? Why isn't your second round draft pick out there from 2021?
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of Titans fans are just blocking it out and thinking, we got to win. You know, breathe a sigh of relief.
They're saying, Caroline. Win. They're saying, as we're talking about all of these things, they're like, but they got to win, y'all. That's all that matters. And you're absolutely right.
And
that's all that matters at this point.
It is. But it's only week three.
Yes.
And you got a really tough game, a division game next week in Indianapolis. And so you can be excited about the win and also be skeptical moving forward. There's always there's bad things you can take out of a win and good things you can take out of a loss. Not all win and loss are created equally. But I think my question to the fans is, after one week against the Giants, they looked good in the first half. It came down to a field goal that Randy Bullock missed. Unacceptable loss. Mm-hmm. Devastating loss. Go to Buffalo, and it bruised your ego a little bit. Mm-hmm. Coming back against the Raiders, you get a win. I know after that loss to Buffalo, I saw it in the text line. I saw it on Twitter. I know a lot of Titans fans were very low on this team. I can't even tell you how many texts and calls Jared and I got about what should we do with the top five pick next year.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
This early?
This early. So my question to those same fans now, or to Titans fans in general, do you still believe that this team can make a run? Do you still believe that this team can win the division? Now that this season is alive, now that the Titans escaped 0-3, they got a win, they're 1-2, they're not the only team in the NFL that's 1-2. Good team, at least. Mm-hmm. Do fans still believe in this team moving forward?
Well, you know, I caught a clip on Instagram of Vrabel's post-game speech to the team. And at the end of it, I believe he said, this is when the season starts. And I know many people are probably looking at that and saying, no, the season started 2 weeks ago and you're 1-2.
You just weren't there with us.
Yeah, you just weren't there with us. Everybody else was starting and y'all were not. But he's right. The season for the Titans starts now. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they got the Indianapolis Colts.
Yep.
It's a division game. You can You can lose two or three non-division games to the AFC or the NFC. But when you come back in division play, that's when the season starts. Mm-hmm. Because as long as you win your – if you go and win every game inside of your division and win a few games outside of it, more than likely you're going to win your division. And that's the way that Coach Vrabel sees it. Like, listen, we need to take care of our division first, and it starts this week. If we do the things necessary and take care of our division, everything else will fall in place. So he's right from the standpoint of, hey, listen, the season for us has started today. And Titans fans, the season for you have started today going into Indianapolis. Because if they can go to Indianapolis and pick up a win, we're going to forget about the loss to the Giants. We're going to forget about the loss to the Bills. Mm-hmm. We're going to look at a team that's 2-2 and 1-0 in the division.
And that's the spooky thing about September football. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I feel like it doesn't even count.
Yeah.
I know that's so that's not true, and that's such a skewed way of looking at it. But go to last year, for example. The Arizona Cardinals looked unstoppable through the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season. Mm-hmm. And then they faltered off and eventually, you know, had a very abysmal season. I kind of look at this the same way, and I know that 1-2 doesn't erase all of the wrongdoings. Mm-hmm. I know that getting a win doesn't automatically mean that the Titans are, you know, signed, sealed, delivered, because that's the very opposite of what it means. But I do also want to caution people that starting 0-2 is not the end of the world.
No, it's not.
Starting 0-3 might be, but they're not 0-3.
Yep.
And so I look at Nissan Stadium on Sunday, and I wondered, I asked myself, are people already checking out of this season? Mm. Stadium on Sunday was desolate.
Yeah, it wasn't what you have seen in prior years.
No.
I don't think it's what you saw the first game of the season. I think what you saw this past game and what I witnessed is a fan base that is teetering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a fan base that is saying, you know what, we still support our team, we still love our team, but coming out, spending all this money and doing all this other stuff, we're not there just yet.
Yeah.
You know, because the team has them on sort of this pendulum.
Right.
Back and forth. Don't know where we're at just yet. You know.
When they zig, they zag.
Exactly.
They lose to the bad teams. They beat the good teams.
So, you know, fans are walking in like, okay, we think this is a good team, but they hadn't shown us they're a good team.
Mm-hmm.
And until they show us they're a good team, we will just support you from outside the stadium.
Yeah, because I saw several photos tweeted out of the stadium, because I wasn't able to make it to the game on Sunday, but I thought the photos were taken like a couple hours before kickoff, and it was right at kickoff.
Yeah.
And I was shocked at just the number of open seats.
It was the same way during the game.
Yeah.
It was. I'm looking at the crowd, and I'm like, goodness, because I came a little after, because we had to do the show first.
Right.
And then I got over and I got in the press box after the first drive. So from the first drive on, I'm looking at the game, but I'm looking at the stands too. And there are a bunch of empty seats. And I'm like, what is going on here? This team has been so good for the last 3 or 4 years that all of a sudden now, after a slow start, are fans already slowly pulling away from this team until they see that this team is a legitimate contender? Because right now, you don't know what the Tennessee Titans are.
Mm-hmm.
We know that their roster is thin, but
they're dealing with injuries.
Exactly, they're dealing with injuries, but we still don't know what type of team they are.
Right.
You know, a Mike Vrabel team can go out and win 5 or 6 straight, but then they also can drop 2 or 3 against bad, god-awful teams.
Against the Giants.
Exactly.
And the Jets last year.
So we don't clearly know, and I don't think the fan base clearly know what type of team they have this season because of the thinness in the roster.
And I do wonder, is a win all it took for people to get bought back in?
I think if they win next week,
and,
yes.
And winning heals a lot of things.
Exactly.
If you're if you're 2-2 going into week 5, I think you'll see a whole lot more people buy in. I think you'll see a whole lot of people want to show up for the games whenever the division is in play or whenever the Titans are winning games. I just don't know if it's winning a game, winning against the Raiders, winning against the Colts, is that what's going to do it? Are fans turned off because of ticket prices or because it's inconvenient to get to the stadium, or is it because they were 0-2? I don't know the answer to that question.
It could be because they were 0-2 at the time, and, you know, some fans had it in their mind already that, okay, because of the injuries that we have, Taylor Lewan's down, Dupree's not playing, you know, guys that are playing are nicked up. The Raiders seem like they're full go with all of their personnel. It was almost like, well, I'm not going to go to this game.
It's going
to be a
massacre. That's how I felt on Friday.
It's going to be a massacre.
Honestly,
I mean, they're going to lose by 30 points.
That's what I felt. That's how I felt on Friday was, I mean, look at this, their roster at full strength. You got Max Crosby and Chandler Jones against an offensive line with a rookie on one side and a guy that you got up on the streets on the other. I thought, you know, God, this is going to be kind of ugly.
It's going to be ugly. It's going to be the Bills all over again.
Exactly. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Let's go to your phones. Brent is up next. All right. Well, we'll get back into your phones coming up next. Caroline Fenton, D-Mace. It's Chase Willie and D-Mace on 1025, 1063 The Game.
And with that division, how much do you put emphasis? It's the first one of the year. It's only week 4. There's a lot of football left. But do you really put an extra emphasis on the fact that it is a division opponent?
Well, I mean, I think you have to, you know, you have to play well. You have to beat the teams in your division. You got to, you know, steal a couple on the road, which, you know, this is the next opportunity for that. So I don't think that there's any, you know, we understand that, you know, they're a good football team. We have to go on the road against a good football team that just beat a good football team and start doing some things better and continue to do things that looked pretty positive yesterday.
This week's Nashville's Best Deal is Monell's with 2 locations in Nashville. Enjoy Monell's Southern comforts like their world-famous skillet fried chicken while spending time with family and new friends. Get half off a $50 gift card to Monell's right now at thegamenashville.com/deals. That was Mike Vrabel at the podium earlier talking next week against Indianapolis going on the road, and he says, hey, you got to steal one on the road, and this is the perfect opportunity to do that. And that seems like what the Titans are going to have to do when they go on the road at Indianapolis. And the division, I think, just got that much more interesting and that much more difficult this past weekend. Of course, the Colts stealing one against the Chiefs, the Jags with a commanding win over the Chargers. I mean, the Jags were a team that I wasn't going to count out, but I also didn't think that it was going to be anything that would give the Titans a run for their money. I thought that this was a 2-horse race between the Colts and the Titans, and the Jags would get there eventually, maybe next year. But I think the Jags very much so have a seat at this table, and I think that the AFC South just got that much more interesting. And I'm wondering, how do Titans fans feel? I mean, of course, the Titans got a win on their own. Mm-hmm. They took care of their own business. They did their own job. So, okay, that's a check on the Titans side. But just how much are Titans fans worried about the Jags and the Colts, considering that they got 2 big wins against 2 big-time AFC opponents, 2 opponents that I expect to make the playoffs?
Well, there should be some worry there, you know, because if you're looking at, you know, Jacksonville. Well, let's go to Indianapolis first, because they were they're the Titans' next opponent, 1. And then 2, they were the odds-on favorite to win the AFC South. Before this past weekend, you looked at Indianapolis and you thought, man, this whole Matt Ryan experiment is not going to work.
Right.
They just don't have enough around him to get the job done. And then, you know, Frank Wright, is he the coach for them? You know, is this team truly ready to compete and win the AFC South? That's what you were thinking for the first 2 weeks. They were 1-1, meaning they had 1 loss and 1 tie. It wasn't even a win. But then,
divisional tie.
Exactly. Then they come out against what many think is if Kansas City's not the best in the AFC, they're the second best team. Yes. They come out and they play a really good game against a very good and tough opponent. Matt Ryan looks good.
Not play
exactly.
A good game.
Absolutely. So to get a victory against the Chiefs, especially headed into the Titans game, was huge for Colts, for that team, and for Colts fans. So now looking at Jacksonville, no one imagined Jacksonville would be 2-1. They should be 3-0.
Mm-hmm.
They should have won the first game of the season. They allowed, I believe they played the Commanders. They allowed the Commanders to come back and win that game. Jacksonville should have won that game. They should be sitting in a position where they're atop the AFC South. They're atop the AFC period with the 3-0 record. But they're sitting at 2-1. They had a huge victory this past weekend against the Chargers. And it wasn't one of those games you looked at Carolina and thought, oh, the Chargers, you know, because their quarterback's a little injured and, you know, they got some players here and there. And, you know, Jacksonville lucked up on that game.
I did not think that this was going to be a game that Jacksonville was going to be even close to being into with
exactly.
the Chargers.
Exactly. They
understanding that Justin Herbert was a little banged up, even still, I didn't think that Jacksonville
you
was going to be in this game.
That Jacksonville wasn't good enough to beat a Charger team.
Right.
But they dominated that game. The score made it seem it was further apart than what the score made it seem.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it still was a lopsided score. The Jacksonville Jaguars dominated that game. They were the better team that day.
Absolutely.
They were the better coach team that day. They had the better personnel. They had the better quarterback that day.
And Justin Herbert did not have a bad game.
Exactly. He did not have a bad game.
No.
He made some unbelievable throws.
But Trevor Lawrence was just that good.
Exactly. Trevor Lawrence was just better that yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, they are atop the AFC South. When was the last time the Jacksonville Jaguars at any point in the season have been atop the AFC South? It's been over a decade.
Has it?
Yes. This team has been a dismal for a very long time. Yes. The last winning season they had, they were 12-4, and they were second to, I think, Indianapolis that year. It's either Indianapolis or Houston.
If Jacksonville was at halfway decent, Indy was probably that much better.
Exactly. So this team hasn't been atop the AFC South in a very long time. But because of those draft picks that are now coming into fruition, mm-hmm. they're playing better. Because they've gotten all that cancerous stuff out of that organization.
The Urban Meyer experiment.
That old residue and that stinking smell, they've got it out of that building. Doug Peterson has him a team that, from a talent standpoint, is up there with the rest of them. Once this team, from a talent standpoint, put it all together and figure it out, they're going to be a very, very dangerous team. They're going to be the team to beat because they got the quarterback and they got the head coach.
I just didn't think that Doug Peterson was going to be able to turn things around
that quickly. Yeah.
And I couch that by saying it's still September.
It's still September. And I get
things
it,
can happen. And
absolutely.
Weird things happen in the NFL all the time. But from what I've seen so far from the Jags, a team that I thought, honestly, you could just write off.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean that disrespectfully. I mean that being a team that has a new head coach and a team that's rebuilding mm-hmm. with a lot of young and new pieces. And that's not going to be the case. Let's go to your phones. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. One texter checks in and says, my prediction, the Titans finish dead last in the AFC South. No chance they get a win in this division.
I think they'll get a win. I think they'll beat Houston at least
Not
once.
Not a single win in the division.
Yeah, that's
I think that's
saying.
A little, yeah.
I think they beat Houston at least once. I think they beat Indianapolis at least once.
I think Jacksonville probably once.
Yeah, I think this division will be split. It's what you do. It's going to be critical for the Titans to get wins outside of this division moving forward.
But that's the tricky thing is the Titans have the most difficult schedule in the division.
Mm-hmm.
So if they split games within the division, they split games with Indy, they split games with Jacksonville, they split games with Houston, I don't see any path for the Titans to win the division.
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
Because they got Green Bay,
mm-hmm.
and they had to play Buffalo,
mm-hmm.
and they have a lot of really difficult games in the schedule that Jacksonville just doesn't have to play.
Absolutely. So it's going to be – that's why I said it's going to be critical, even if they split in a mm-hmm. division.
Right.
They're going to have to pick up wins outside of division on the road. And Vrabel talked about it.
It's tough.
He's got to steal games here and there and steal them on the road. So
it's going to be tough. Oh, on the road at Green Bay.
It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. Yeah.
Luck.
But I still believe that, you know, even with how good Jacksonville, I think Jacksonville is right now, because to me they have shown they're the best team in the division right now. Even with all of that, I still believe it's the Titans' division to lose because they've won it for the last 3 years. I understand that their roster is different and it's a little bit thinner, but they have Mike Vrabel as head coach.
You still have Derrick Henry.
Still have Derrick Henry. Still have Kevin Byard. Still have Jeffrey Simmons. You still have playmakers on both sides of the ball. Moving forward, none of those playmakers can afford to get hurt.
Already down one with Harold
Landry.
Yeah,
exactly. Already down one. You can't be down two or three.
Sean texts in and says, win the division, yes. Make a run at the Super Bowl, hell no. Did anyone expect the Titans to make a run at the Super Bowl?
I don't think anyone expected their run to the Super Bowl.
You can hope.
Yeah, you can hope that that happens. You know, once you get in the playoffs, I mean, anything can happen.
Yeah. Just get yourself
in
the playoffs.
But I don't think no one realistically thought that the Titans this year, with the roster that they have, that they were going to make a considerable run to the Super Bowl.
And I don't think that's an indictment of this team, but not making a run for the Super Bowl. You traded away arguably your best player on offense. Mm-hmm. You know, one of your best pass rushers is injured. Your leading sacker from last year is injured. I mean, even before Harold Landry went down, I didn't see this team as being a legitimate Super Bowl contender when you're competing with Josh Allen and the Bills, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, Joe Burrow and the Bengals.
Justin Herbert
and the Chargers, Russell Wilson and the Broncos, which that is looking
like it's going to be
a little bit more brutal than I expected. But I don't think anyone should have expected that, just considering how difficult the AFC is. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get into your thoughts coming up next. But before we do that, I want to give you an opportunity to win a pair of Preds tickets for the home opener. So just be the first person with the correct answer to D-Mace's trivia question, and you will win a chance to go see the Predators in their home opener.
And here is the trivia question. Seeming that the Preds have two exhibition games tonight during the preseason, we're going to give you a Pred question, all right? And you have to, if the first caller that answers this question wins a pair of tickets. The Preds acquired a defenseman in the middle of last season. He came from the new NHL team out west. Who is this defenseman? He signed a new contract over the offseason as well. So who is the new defenseman? They signed him in the middle of the season last year. Who is he?
All right, be the first one to answer that question correctly, and you will win a pair of tickets for the Preds home opener at Bridgestone Arena Thursday, October 13th against the Dallas Stars. Not Stillman and Company. Chase, Willie, and D-Maze, Old Habits Die Hard. Chase, Willie, and D-Maze, 1025-1063, the game. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 1025-1063, the game. Caroline Fenton, Derek Mason hanging out with you. And, hey, it is a Preds game day. So make sure we're hanging out at Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena as the Predators open up their preseason as the suit hops on with us.
Contractually, I have to appear on the show with my name for at least, like, 1 minute every day.
Is that how you make your endorsement checks?
I guess.
So tell us about tonight.
Look, I think it's going to be fun tonight. A little doubleheader action. Going to see some youngsters, some veterans, some newbies with the Preds. Mm-hmm. So I think it'll be cool. And guess what? If you're coming down to the game, we're back home in the Jack Daniels Barrel House. So you can come by and see us. Max Herz, as we announced today, will be heading up pre- and post-game, which is going to be
awesome.
All right,
Max.
Very well deserved.
Congrats.
Darren McFarlane will still be a part of things as the host of the Preds Official Podcast
right.
in Smashville Live. So
D-Mac,
riding strong.
Nice.
Max Herz, riding strong.
Squad runs deep.
There we go.
Excited about all of that.
Well,
and, you know, you two have done a marvelous job today without me.
This is my first time in Barrel House in the old digs.
Well, and I forgot. Shame on me. I forgot to warn you to wear a jacket.
That it's cold.
It's a little chilly.
I brought my heat pack.
It's
well,
Antarctica.
Because you're a veteran.
Exactly.
It's a veteran move.
This is rookies. Those rookies.
Well, the Patron Club was nice and toasty.
Oh, yeah.
I know a certain someone who would complain about how hot it was in there all the time.
Because he never complains about anything.
No. But I like that. But, yeah, it was a little bit of a rude awakening. But, no, it's great. It's great over here, and it's nice to Nice to see the old Digs.
It's like it's nice to be amongst the fans. Yeah. You can see them walking by, the people walking
by.
Well,
I'm the people's suit. There you go. I want to be with the people.
Absolutely.
You know, that's how,
truly
that's how
are
I
the people's suit.
People's suit. That's how I roll. All right, you guys wrap it up.
Well, cool, Chaser. Appreciate you. Wow. The suit gracing us with his appearance. It is so nice to be in the presence of Chase McCabe.
There you go.
But D-Mace, the people have some thoughts. Mm-hmm. Unless you have a thought to the phones?
No, let's go to the phones. See what everybody got to say.
So a lot of people wanted to chime in about our conversation about people buying in, about fans buying into Nissan Stadium. Because as you mentioned, you were at the game. I wasn't able to make it. But like you mentioned, it was pretty empty.
Yeah, it wasn't what I expected.
Wasn't energetic.
Exactly.
Because I was there, you know, for the Bengals playoff game. For the Bills Monday night game, and I mean, Nissan Stadium was absolutely rocking in each of those games. But I've also been to games where it just kind of feels like everybody's asleep. So my question is, do Titans fans, are they buying out of this team? Are they out on this team? Are they going 0-2 and they just have no interest in going? Or is it just, hey, you know,
it's one of those days.
It's just one of those days.
Where we decided not to go.
But Nate texts in and says, I don't doubt that Nissan Stadium was empty yesterday. I looked on Ticketmaster an hour before kickoff, and the cheapest ticket I could find was $70 in the 300s. At least two people go, so that's at least $155 with fees and taxes, then pay for parking and all the other stuff. That's usually $250 plus in one day. And that's kind of the general sentiment of everybody that's chiming in about this is, look, it's parking, it's expensive, it's a lot, it's a full day thing that they just rather watch the game at home.
Yeah, and I understand, and you can't fault them, especially when your team starts off 0-2.
Yeah.
Had they been 2-0 or 1-1, maybe a couple of more, you know, butts would have been in the seat. But when you come into, you know, your stadium after losing the first game of the season in your stadium, now you come in 0-2 with... You know, many thought this is just going to be a 0-3 game, too. You're not going to see as many people as you thought in the seats. But hopefully, you know, the Titans will be away for, what, a month? So hopefully when they come back, this team will have a much better record and the fans will be ready to support them, not just outside of the stadium, but also inside the stadium.
But I do remember, because my thought is, okay, is it because they're 0-2 or people just – don't feel like going. I remember having this exact same conversation, Jared and I, November, I guess, around that time last year. So the Titans had beaten the Chiefs, the Titans had beaten the Bills, the Titans had just beaten the Rams on Sunday Night Football, and we were still talking about how there were not butts in those seats. So I do wonder, is it just...
It could just be the price.
Maybe.
The cost of going to a, you know, a professional game.
It's steep.
It is steep, and you outprice a lot of people that want to support you, and they feel that, you know, we will continue to support you, but it will be from the comforts of our own home.
We do have a Monday Night Football game tonight.
Yes, we do.
Cowboys, Giants.
How about those Cowboys? This year's their year, as every year is.
Every year's the Cowboys' year. And yeah, oh yeah. Every year on every year on the national media, it's the Cowboys' year. The Cowboys are back. Am I wrong in
Rush, we trust.
Am I wrong in saying this might be the snooziest of a snooze fest Monday Night Football game?
Yeah,
in a long time.
Because last night was just a barn burner.
Well, last night was disgusting. last night should have been better than it was.
Last night was awful.
Oh, my goodness. I haven't.
Last night
I
was
haven't,
gross.
I don't know if I've. Nah, I need to really think about that. But thinking about it right now without having time to really kind of, you know, go in depth, I don't think I've ever played in a game that it was that bad. Now, we may have played bad, but the other team scored a lot of points, and it was good for their fan base. But I don't think either fan base walked away thinking, like, man, this was great.
Like, wow, that was a fun game to watch.
And Nathaniel Hackett, woof.
Woof.
Like, that guy.
Wow.
I mean, the fact that he's three games in, and he's having to bring somebody in to help him manage the game. As the head coach, isn't that kind of part of your job is to manage the game?
But also, do we expect anything different from Nathaniel Hackett? He didn't call plays in Green Bay.
Right.
The Broncos hired him for one reason and one reason only, and they cannot convince me otherwise, and it was to get Aaron Rodgers to Denver. Yep. They miss on Aaron Rodgers. So now they're stuck with a head coach who's never been a head coach before and has never called, oh, I guess never, not never, but he didn't call plays in his last stop. What did they expect?
Because Russell looks lost and frustrated.
Yeah. I'm sure he is.
And he doesn't have any weapons.
No.
So
everyone was so starstruck about Russell Wilson that they didn't think about, oh, who's he throwing the ball to?
This you know what this reminds me of?
What's that?
Donovan McNabb, the 1 year in Minnesota. He leaves Philadelphia. Everybody thinks he's the he's the answer, and it's one and done, and then he ends up in Washington. Now, they signed Russ to an extension, so they're kind of stuck. And it's not – I don't think it's Russell's fault.
I don't think it's Russell's fault. I think the coach is going to be one and done.
Yeah.
Just like Josh McDaniels may be one and done, too. From what I've heard is they had a long talk with the owner yesterday after the game, he and the owner. So it's not looking too good for him either.
Yeah.
T's and P's.
T's and P's.
T's and P's to Denver and Vegas. That's going to do it for us today. Chase, William, D. Mace will be back with y'all tomorrow at 10 a.m.
Are we out?